show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one! Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
With the fifth selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Kansas City Royals select Kyle Zimmer.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I am Troy Olson of the Kansas City Baseball Vault, and I am joined by a great blogger roundtable. We are one short right now, so if you're watching live at youtube.com/RoyalManReport, you might see one more gentleman pop in on us before we get going too far here. I'm trying to watch an email in case he shows up, but I'm going to introduce the people that are here and that are good to go. I guess hopefully you guys see it the same way on YouTube that I do. So starting from what I deem my left, that sexy man on the left is David Leske of Pine Tar Press and the Pine Tar Press podcast. Next to him with the Royals picture behind him is Jeff Parker of Baseball Authority. No, Royally Speaking, sorry. Royally Speaking. Next to him is, of course, a longtime member of the show, Jeff Herr, which you can find at echonetwork.com. That's ekohnetwork.com. Next to him is, of course, my longtime podcasting partner, Michael Engel of Kings of Kauffman. And then there's me, and we should be joined by one more from I-70 Baseball, but I want to go ahead and kick this off and get going. What we're kind of to set up what we're going to do, and we want to get going because most of the guys only have about an hour and a half, and I think we're going to need all of that to get through this. So what we need to get doing, we're going to present three separate topics. The quote-unquote original hosts of the show, myself, Mike, and hang on just a second, Matt's still having trouble. I'll have to edit all this out.
I think it's great radio.
Right? For those live, that's why the live show is great, because you get all this extra stuff too. Right. And on that note, if you haven't ever, and I'll leave this part in, but if you haven't ever seen the live show, go to the youtube.com/RoyalManReport and watch this live, but turn on the captions and find out what really gets said, according to the folks at Google who do the automatic transcribing or whatever, because it's pretty fantastic. Anyway, so we're going to do a bit of a blogger roundtable. I tried to pick out somebody from each of the blogs that I've known for a long time, and we did invite two folks from Royals Review. I invited Broken Bat Single, who I've wanted on the show for a long, long time, and for whatever reason, never heard back from him on Twitter or via email. So Nick Scott was unable to attend, and I invited Craig Brown, and he was unable to attend. He sent it out to his folks, and I never heard back. So we did include Royals Review. They did not produce somebody for the show. So, but outside of that, obviously you've got three of the best Royal sites that are on the web with Pine Tar Press, Royally Speaking, and Kings of Kauffman, along with now Echo Network for all of your sports and entertainment needs. And then, of course, you're represented by, I think, the two only Royals podcasts that are worth listening to right now, which is, of course, the Kansas City Baseball Vault and the Pine Tar Press podcast, which does much less nonsense than we do on here. That's very important to note. So, which is a bit of an inside joke. So, but nevertheless, funny to me still. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick it over for our first topic to Jeff Herr, and he's going to give us our first topic. Then I'm going to go second. Mike's going to go third. And then on the end, we'll come back and do just a quick wrap around as we would on the normal episodes that we'd normally do in the beginning. We'll do that on the end in case anybody has to leave. But Jeff will kick out a topic, and then I will be the Tony Reale today, and we'll do this kind of around the horn style, and I will I'll just mix it up and call out a name and you add your opinions. And if you've got a real strong opinion on something and you just got to get it out right away, just pop a hand up or something and let me know, and I'll come right to you. But Jeff, go ahead and take it away with your topic.
All right. Well, I think first topic we'll throw out is going to be the one that's already on the tip of everybody's tongue. It's going to be on there for all off season and quite frankly, until it gets any better, starting pitching. You know, it's been there. It's been looming over this organization for 20 plus years now. You know, they even any time they get a starting pitcher, they can't seem to keep him, or they trade him away, and the return doesn't seem to be as good or whatever. So, you know, and that's only one or two times in the last 20 years that they've actually had a pitcher worth trading. But so, I mean, the question is to everybody here, you know, first of all, there's kind of multiple prongs to this question of what, first of all, I mean, what's the best thing that the Royals are going to can do? You know, should they trade? I mean, free agency, we obviously know there's going to be a decent amount of pitchers out there in free agency, but David Glass came out this week and said, oh, we're going to spend the money, we're going to spend the money. I feel like we've heard that before. I feel like that's, I feel like season tickets might be coming out soon, and maybe that's what he's saying. You know, maybe that's a Royals, really Royals fan way of looking at it, but, you know, I think it's relevant. But then, you know, if that can't happen, then the pitching has to come from within. And when you look at the success of some of the other small market teams, your Tampa Bay Rays, your Oakland A's, teams like that, you know, they've developed pitching from within. The Royals can't do that. You know, I mean, this is kind of my soapbox I've been on for the last year and a half, and people are probably sick of hearing me talk about it. But, and I'm not going to get into a long toss or anything, but, I mean, just development in any way. When you look at a year and a half ago, you know, when Baseball America came out and said the Royals are the best farm system in the history of everything ever, you know, they had five pitchers on that list. And they were Mike Montgomery, John Lamb, Danny Duffy, Chris Dwyer, and Jake Odorizzi. And now we're sitting here with Mike Montgomery has moved his backslid to AA with an ERA over six. Chris Dwyer has an ERA barely below six. John Lamb had Tommy John surgery. Danny Duffy had Tommy John surgery, which some people will disagree, but I think part of that is training. You know, it's not always, but part of it is, especially when you see a trend like you have with the Royals. So, and that's not counting the guy that they spent $7.5 million on to sign from Cuba, Noel Aguayas, who's got an ERA over six as well. So, you know, starting pitching, what's the answer here? I mean, that's the question that's going to – that supposedly will solve all the Royals' problems, and if it won't, we'll get into that later. But, I mean, where do we go from here if y'all
First off, before I kick this out to anybody, I want to welcome to the show. I've got a spot for him. I don't have an image, but Matt Whitener, are you with us from I-70 Baseball?
Yeah, can you make me out?
I can hear you, but you have no picture, but that's quite all right.
Maybe that's better for everybody.
Right. So I know you got in here a little late. What we're doing is we're going to do this around the horn style, and I'll call out to different people. But since we've already got you lined up, let's go ahead and let you take Jeff's topic here first and pitching in the Royals. What do you foresee this offseason looking like for the Royals pitching, or where do you stand on this topic?
Well, the thing to me always about the Royals pitching situation has been that it always seems like there needs to be that anchor, like there needs to be that guy at the top that you can go to every fourth day to kind of stop the bleeding if it, you know, gets to be a little too much. But this offseason, I think that, you know, as painful as it may sound, they've got to try to duplicate the Jonathan Sanchez situation again, where you can get a young arm that you can build around but not have to tear apart the system in order to do so. I mean, it's just vital because nearly every other team, save for the Twins, in the division at least, has a guy that they can go to like that. And if they're going to get over that hump and get to the top, they're really going to have to get a guy that can start being that person for them.
All right. Lesky, your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, that would be great if they could go get somebody who is young, controlled, and not have to give up anything. But that's unrealistic, I think. I don't know that there's a lot out there without taking a flyer. And based on this season, I don't think the Royals can afford to take a flyer and have that be it. They have to go out in free agency. They have to go out and make trades. They have to find at least a number two starter. The way I see it, they've got to get Guthrie re-signed. They need to get somebody better than him and somebody who is maybe not quite as good as him. I've been saying Guthrie, Carlos Villanueva, and PV Animal Sanchez type. But that's an issue. You got to get free agents to come here, and I don't know if they want to come here.
Jeff Parker.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, you can offer them, but you can't make them. And as fans, sometimes we don't know what's been offered or to who, so it's easy to criticize that Dayton Moore didn't do enough. But this winter, that's what I think is going to happen. Dayton Moore's not going to do enough. It's nice that Glass wants to spend the money, but I don't think Dayton Moore wants to. And I can see him going after, you know, David said a number two. That'd be great. But I see him going after a couple number fours, which would be unfortunate.
And let's add a little twist to this. If because I think you're absolutely right when it comes to free agency of, you know, it takes two to tango, as they say. So, you know, they've got to want to come here no matter how much the Royals offer or can offer. The kind of the way around that, if you will, is the trades, which we kind of touched on a little bit earlier, where, you know, they don't have a choice. In most cases, some of the high-profile players will have, like, a no-trade clause or something. But for the most part, you know, you can get who you want with the trade. So if the Royals are going to trade, you know, who's out there? I mean, people have, over the last year, you know, you've heard Eric Hosmer, Will Myers, all the names of our young stars of who we could trade for pitching. Who, if you were going to put a package together, who would you base that around?
Well, and I'm going to go ahead and go to Mike quick, and then I got some thoughts on this too. So, Engel, it's all yours.
Yeah, they call it the trade that hurts because the Royals have bats in the system. They have guys who can hit the ball and guys who project well over the next 2 years. And somebody might have to move to make that happen if they can't get a free agent. I mean, there are going to be guys out there, but it's not nearly as lush as it looked like a couple years ago. Last year, it looked like Cole Hamels might be out there. Looked like Matt Cain might be out there. The Angels now are talking like they want to keep Zach Greinke over a couple of other options, so it's possible that he might not be somebody who's actually available. So that's a lot. Those are three top-line pitchers that just right there that aren't going to be available. And that leaves you with the guys like Sanchez and, you know, Dan Heron. It's come out that they might not pick up his option. I think Jake Peavy, I think they'd be good, but again, it comes back to that, what do you do to get them here? And, you know, I think with guys like Dan Heron, it's probably going to cost 4 years, $65, $70 million. And is David Glass going to actually pony up once he sees what the market value of a good pitcher is? So I think it does come down to maybe a trade is going to be the only way that you can go out and get a guy that is going to be effective at the top of a rotation. And it comes around every offseason. There's usually one, maybe even two guys that you never expect to get traded, and they end up getting traded anyway. So, you know, that could be something by December. You know, a lot can change in that time where the Royals could make some moves and get in a position to get somebody. But it's going to take two pitchers. You're going to have to get to a point where Luke Hochaver and Bruce Chen are not pitching at the top of the rotation. Ideally, you only have one of them returning, in my opinion.
And, of course, the continual battle with this is that we're dealing with a team that doesn't have Paulino and Duffy until at least midseason, at least the All-Star game, which is where, you know, you can say, okay, Bruce Chen coming back next year isn't awful because he might get hurt anyways, and if he doesn't, then after the All-Star break, you have the option to try to send him down if you make the moves to get the people to round this out. And I know on Kings of Kauffman there was an article wrote recently about we're not getting Greinke back. And, I fell into it about midseason. I hated Greinke when he left. I didn't like the way he left. I've been very clear about that, fought a lot of people about that. But, you know, I was all in. I was, you know, don't boo him when he comes back to town. Cheer him. Don't cheer against the Royals, but you know, cheer Greinke in the opens and what have you. But it looks like that LA is going to take that off the table anyways, and he probably most likely wasn't coming back here anyways. Yes, he does have a place in the plaza, and that's what a lot of us have hung on to, is that for whatever reason he keeps a house here. But the dude's weird, so it may just be that it was the first place he bought on his own or something. Guthrie, I think, is a must sign at this point. He's everything the Royals like in a player. He's got quote-unquote good stuff. He's got great stuff. I'm sorry, I didn't want to undersell his better than Kyle Davies type stuff. He's got great stuff. He's a great person. The only thing that I've ever heard negative on him is that he is, you know, kind of a highly religious person, so he doesn't party with everybody. And this team's full of young kids that like to go out and drink. So I guess there's some team bonding that doesn't happen with Guthrie. But he's a good person. He's got great stuff that when it works, it really works, and that's something the Royals really like. I think he has to come back. I think that's an important piece for the way that this team has to be built. I'm really tired of the Edwin Jackson conversation because that's one of the first people everybody bring up. He took less money to go to the Naturals than to go to the Pirates, and or I'm sorry, the Nationals, than to go to the Pirates. And yes, it's going to work out for him this year. He's going to go to the playoffs. That's what he wanted. But he ain't coming to Kansas City next year, people. It's the same kind of thing. Even if this team could come out and be amazing next year, he's not going to see it that way. He's likely to go back to a team like the Nationals or somebody like that unless there's a ton of money thrown out there, and I don't see the Royals doing that. Of course, we've been on the McCarthy bandwagon around here, and I continue to speak to that, but now with his injury, you know, he's got everything that makes for a good Royal signing. He's got the high upside and but with all the question marks, but that's also what Oakland signs with, and he's already in Oakland, so there's a good chance he stays there. They definitely have to go out and get two pitchers. That's the bottom line. And like Robert Ford said last night on the post-game show, one of those pitchers is Guthrie, but who's the other one? And it's got to be somebody that can be a one or a two for this team. They don't have to be a true number one or even a true number two, but they've got to be able to be a one or two for this team, because if you're going to continue to send Chen and Hochaver out there as your one and two, you're in big, big trouble. I think there's a lot of work to be done, and I think it's going to say a lot about this organization all the way around based on what they do this year with this postseason, with this offseason, I should say. So I think on that note, did anybody else have any closing thoughts on that subject? Go ahead, Mike.
This whole question of who to get and who to go out and trade for would be avoided if the Royals could develop a pitcher. And like Jeff was saying earlier, you know, you've got guys like Arguelles who, you know, highly touted, signed about the same time that Aroldis Chapman did, and they've gone completely different paths. You know, he's had shoulder problems. You know, you look at the injuries to John Lamb and Danny Duffy. Is that something with the development program of the Royals? Is there something with how they develop pitchers that's interfering with Mike Montgomery and Chris Dwyer? You know, and what's that mean going forward for guys like Yordano Ventura and Kyle Zimmer and Jason Adam and players like that who we kind of have to see now as the next wave and the next guys that we pin our hopes on? You know, they've recently, and I haven't heard this clearly if Rick Knapp is staying in the organization in any way, but it seemed like he was making progress, but now they've gone with the name escapes me. They replaced him. Yeah,
Steve Foster.
Yeah, as the minor league pitching coordinator. So what change is that going to mean? And is it going to change again next year? I mean, is there a lack of consistency that's going to interfere with this development process too?
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Do you have headphones in by chance?
I don't.
Is there any way that you could make that happen? We're getting a little bit of feedback on your side.
Yeah, there I go.
While Matt's getting that taken care of, Matt, of course, is stepping in for Bill Ivey, who had a personal issue and couldn't join us today from I-70 Baseball, and we're grateful that Matt could join us. But one thing that Bill Ivey had wrote about, tweeted about, and had talked to me about offline was, you know, do you trade, and this is one that'll hit home for Jeff Herr because it's his boyfriend that he would love to have in Kansas City more than anybody else. But do you go out and get like an Ike Davis from the Mets that you could get relative with a couple of probably B-level prospects, slide him in at first base, and trade an Eric Hosmer plus whatever it might be, a B-level prospect or even a low A-level prospect for David Price and all the money on that contract? Of course, that might be what we're talking about to legitimately get a pitcher in here that we need. So do I think that's going to happen? I don't think this organization's brave enough to do that. So we'll see, though, going forward. And on that note, we're going to jump out to break.
Dave, what were you going to say?
Well, what I was going to say is a lot of people seem to think that Hosmer has no value because of his terrible season. That is beyond the opposite of the truth. Yeah. Every general manager in baseball would love to get their hands on him. He may turn into Casey Kochman. I don't think he will. I don't think anybody else thinks he will. But this season has lowered his value. If he was at a 100 last year, he's at like a 97 this year. It's still plenty, and he has plenty to bring back a legitimate starting pitcher. I don't know if he can do it for Price, but something Clint and I have talked about on our podcast is Hosmer to the Marlins, get back Josh Johnson, and work out a deal where you send Hosmer to the Marlins, Josh Johnson to the Royals, you also have Logan Morrison come back. Both of those guys get to go home. I mean, we're working on our armchair general manager thing here, and it's never a good idea, but I mean, Hosmer, there's possibilities with Eric Hosmer.
And just so everybody knows, if David Price came to Kansas City, my head would literally explode.
You would have a jersey tomorrow that said Price across the back for the Royals.
Absolutely. And
you would
be Price he doesn't already, to be honest with you.
He would find out where David Price is living and just stake out the front of his house. You guys don't understand how much I love him there.
A boombox over my head.
He would change his name to Jeff Herr-Price.
Pretty much. So on that note, I don't think there's a better time to take a break. I think we're going to go ahead and take a break here real quick. We'll be right back on the other side. We're going to talk about the 40-man, and we're going to talk about Will Myers, why he didn't get the call-up, and what has to be done before the first of next season. And it's a lot more than I think a lot of people realize. So we'll be right back on the other side.
Kelly's Westport. It's the place where you buy beer. This guy came into the bar the other day and was telling me that they had friends in town and went down to that fancy bar district downtown. They went to one of those swanky no-ball cap bars and ordered a beer. Now, this wasn't one of those imported beers. It wasn't even one of those microbrew deals. This bartender rang up the tab, and he wanted $27 for three dadgum beers. $27 for some beers. That isn't right. That isn't fair. So he took him down to see us. We got them some nice big beers for half that price. Even had one of the ladies find a fella there. Got him some pizza. Listen, don't fall victim to those overpriced, no ball cap bars down there. You might as well take your money and throw it in the trash. Kelly's Westport. It's the place where you buy beer. Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Hi, I'm a woman. And I listen to Bugcast Podcast.
Hola, soy mujer. Yo oigo a Bugcast and Bugcast.
And when I do, it makes me hornier than a hoot owl at midnight.
Cuando pensar de eso, toda la noche, como jodiendo a chingazos.
If you think Zac Efron's sexy, you haven't seen anything yet.
Si piensas de Zac Efron... Es guapo, no ha mirado nada todavía.
Look out, David Beckham. You're not the only one with just your underwear on.
Cuidado, David Beckham. Tú eres el único que no tienes calzones, está bien.
Bugcast makes me feel so good. Jealous much?
Me siento muy bien con Bugcast. Me hacen celosos.
Listen to a new episode of Bugcast. Released every Monday.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Mike Engel had to excuse himself for just a minute. He will be right back. He's kind of aware of the topic I'm going into anyway. So the Kansas City Royals did some things that made fans very, very unhappy this year. They didn't bring Will Myers up at any point. We talked about actually at our All-Star shows about how I expected Will Myers to stay up after the All-Star break. What I didn't realize at the time, and still don't really like the taste it leaves in the mouth, but Will Myers doesn't have to be added to the 40-man this year. He doesn't have to be added to the 40-man until after opening day. Well, he technically, I guess, doesn't have to be added until the end of next season, but I don't think it'll take that long. But what you're seeing is this team has a problem that's been rare for the Royals in the last 25 years. They've got more good players on their 40-man than they really can deal with. And you say, oh, well, there's a lot of crap on this team, too. And sure, there is. Francisco Bueno, probably not with this team next year. But there's also a lot of talent in AAA, AA, and Single-A that, as time goes on, those players have to be added to the 40-man to keep them from becoming Rule 5 eligible. And for those of you that have followed Royals baseball, you know that we've gotten folks like Joaquin Soria off of the 40-man, Nate Adcock, both players that have been, you know, decently valuable for the Royals, obviously Soria more than Adcock. Well, this year it's the Royals that have a high likelihood of losing somebody off that 40-man, and so they have to make some decisions this year, this offseason, on what do you do in order to make enough space so that this team can cover the players that they have to cover. And I'm going to go to Mike Engel first on this because this is when he gets back and is ready, because this is something that we've talked about a lot offline and even on this show, but there's probably six or seven players that the Royals have to remove from the 40-man this year, and there's and there's probably obviously that many that they're going to need to add back on. Mike, what would be the first solutions that the Royals can do to keep – well, first off, kind of break down what minor leaguers have to be added to the 40-man this year, and then which of those you would add and kind of who you would take off. And that's going to be kind of the question to everybody.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, the 2008 draft was one of the really good ones for the Royals at the time, and there's a lot of good names there. There's guys like Mike Montgomery, obviously, John Lamb. Tyler Sample and Tim Melville were guys, they were taken in the third and fourth round that year, and at the time, they were some of those guys that the Royals signed above slot to get them into the system. They haven't really done a lot in the minor leagues, but there's still a lot of talent there that, you know, possibly the Royals want to keep around. That's, you know, those are just the decisions that you have to make. Guys like Jake Odorizzi, I mean, he's on the roster now, but it was a thing that earlier in the year, you know, that was one of the things he had to be added. So it's good that they brought him up. J.C. Solbaron, the guy from that we got from the Reds, he's somebody who has to be added. I think Dwyer does as well because he was older. He's an older player when he entered the system. Donnie Joseph is another guy that we got from the Reds, so he has to be added. You know, I think all those guys are possible guys that you bring into the system and keep them in. Montgomery and Lamb, of course. You know, Solbaron and Dwyer and Joseph, I think, are definitely guys that you want to have around. So you have to make space for those guys. And, you know, there is some dead weight, but it's not quite as simple in some cases because, you know, you've got Noel Arguez, who signed a major league contract, and he's on the 40-man. And you have guys like Vin Mazzaro, who's had some success in very small points. Guys like Jeremy Jeffress, who had a really good looking season up until about a week ago when he got blown up. So there's a lot of guys that you run into problems with there. Plus, you've got a lot of guys that are on the 60-day disabled list right now that aren't taking up a 40-man space. And that creates a problem, too, because you have to activate those guys as well. So you're going to see a lot of people probably drop off of this. You know, just to make space for some of the guys that they want to keep. Otherwise, you know, you'd see guys like Chris Dwyer get picked up in the Rule 5 draft, and, you know, inevitably he'd turn into the ace that we want him to be, probably in the AL Central more than likely.
And throw a no-hitter against the Royals at Kauffman.
Probably, yeah. Because Royals.
Yeah. David Leske, of course, from Pine Tar Press, I'm going to shoot this to you because this is right up your alley being a minor league-type question. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I'll just go down the list of who I think is going to be off. I just pulled up the roster right here. I think Adcock might stay on. I think Arguez is off. Bueno has a chance to be off, but he might stay on. They like him a lot.
Yep.
Guys like Hochaver and Mike Montgomery, you know, one's on the 40, one's not, obviously. But I think they could both be gone in a trade this offseason. Hochaver was almost traded in July, along with Montgomery, actually. So that kind of clears up a little bit of space there. I think Mazzaro's gone. I think that this is gonna kill you, Troy. But I think Verdugo's off. I think you lose at least one of the catchers, probably two, because I don't know that Pena's gonna be back, and one of Moore or Pena probably won't be back. Add in Clint Robinson. I don't know that he has a spot on the roster. I think Bourgeois might be gone. Derek Robinson. So while there's not quite as much dead weight on there, there is still a ton. There's 10 to 15 players who the Royals could cut without any issues at all. Soria will – they won't pick up his option, but I think he'll be back is my guess. But there's some room to play right there with a bunch of guys who just don't deserve to be on the 40-man roster at all.
You know, before I go to Jeff Parker, one thing that nobody's mentioned is, do we really think that Chris Getz is coming back next year?
I think he is. I think he'll be back at least for the first couple months, and if he struggles, he'll be gone. If he doesn't, he'll be the starting second baseman until 2043.
Well, as Michael said, he'll be back because Royals.
Yeah, and, you know, and on the Hochaver note, there he does have to go through arbitration this year. It's going to cost about $5 million to keep him in arbitration. If we give him that kind, if the Royals give him $5 million in arbitration, it's because we're the Royals.
Well,
and
they may
that's
not have
stupid.
A choice. I mean, you don't. Players don't take less in arbitration. If they get to arbitration, they're going to get more money. If they aren't deserving of more money, they don't get the offer in the first place. So
that's my point, is they shouldn't even get to arbitration with Luke Hojaver. And if they do, I don't care what Ned Yost says. It's a failing by him, by Moore, by the whole lot of them. They cannot let Hojaver get to arbitration this year. If you're going to trade him, fine, trade him. But he can't make it to arbitration. Jeff Parker, do you?
I was fine with Myers not being added on September 1st because of the 40-man issue. I thought he should have been added August 1st or even July 1st.
Right.
But he's going to be on it next year. There's going to be a cut somewhere to get him on next year. So I guess I kind of didn't understand why they couldn't make that cut this year to get him on.
Well, because I think you can get through the Rule 5 draft and everything before you have to add him. I don't think that he makes the opening day roster. I really don't think Will Myers is on. Yeah, I don't think he's on your opening day roster. So that's where they can avoid that. They can actually get into 2013, see what they have, maybe make some preseason trades, some spring training trades, and in doing so, then have a spot for him. But that's what the big thing is for him is that they've got some time to play with. So did you have anything else on that, Jeff?
No, not really. I don't like that issue.
You don't like that issue? That works for me. Matt, do you have any opinions on the 40-man situation and what has to happen?
Well, the interesting thing to me looking at it is how do they, and this might be a touch-and-go subject, is where do they actually look to go outside of the 40-man right now to make the team better? For next season, I mean, are you gonna? The Chris Getz question is a good one. Just do you, I would think that would be a clear place where they could make the team better, is getting a veteran up the middle at least. I mean, it's a team that's had a lot of trouble this year because there hasn't been a lot of leadership per se, and there's some places like that up the middle spot, but in the second base or even a backup shortstop that might not see a lot of actual field time. You know, making him help outright there may be a good way to make the team better, and somebody would have to drop off for that. So the Getz situation is maybe the most interesting one to me.
Yeah, it does sound like a Barry Royals thing to do, is to go out there and get somebody like that. And inevitably, I don't know, Alcides Escobar might slump in spring training and not make the opening day roster because of that or something.
And I think there on this topic, I have kind of two things that, more so than any solutions to the 40-man roster, just kind of thoughts on the whole situation, is I'm kind of with what Jeff was saying with the Will Myers situation. I mean, the fact that he wasn't brought up September 1st doesn't bother me at all, because to me, I think he should have been brought up in July. So if he wasn't brought up in July, then, you know, they obviously felt he had something to learn, or there was some specific reason, and it wasn't going to fix itself in the next 2 months. So they should have just kept him on, and that's what they did. So I was fine with that after I got over the fact they didn't bring him up in July. And then the second thing is more so than any solutions to the 40-man roster, kind of what David was saying, with some of the people that were going to be possibly drop off the list, some of these kind of more or less high-profile names that the Royals had when they were drafted, like your Mike Montgomery's, Chris Dwyer's. I mean, they're not going to let go of all those guys, but some of them, especially when you get more down to like the Tim Melvilles and the Tyler Samples, are going to be let go. And one thing I'll be paying attention to is really following those guys that had a lot of potential, had those high ceilings that the Royals never got to, and then see if another organization picks them up that's had a lot of success. Maybe Oakland picks them up, or Texas does, or Tampa Bay, and actually turns them into a good pitcher, you know, because then, I mean, that's your ultimate indictment right there on the Royals system. If they can have a pitcher who had the talent, couldn't do anything with them, just cut bait with them, and then some other team picks them up and turns them into a good, you know, at least usable major league piece in some facet. I mean, that's where you're really going to say, you know, it's not just speculation anymore. This is for real. The Royals have, I mean, we all know they have problems, but there's never been as much tangible evidence as there would be like that. So that's what I'll be paying attention to kind of see if where that all shakes out.
Engel, you had a thought?
Yeah, one of the wrinkles on the Rule 5 part is, and I'm sure the Royals are considering it like this, is that, you know, when a team picks up a player from the Rule 5 draft, they have to keep them on the roster all year or offer them back. So that's something that's a lot of times what you see pitchers as the guys who are picked, because You can stash him in the back of the bullpen. Guys like, you know, we saw with Nate Adcock. It's very rarely position players who end up as Rule 5 picks. I think Josh Hamilton was, but he's about the most notable. Any Rule 5 picks that actually kind of stick and have any kind of impact on the team, they're almost always pitchers. And a lot of times they're guys who were, you know, 21 years old or 22 in high A and never really got it going. Guys like Melville and Sample are very much like that. So it's something that the Royals are probably looking more towards, will they get picked up? And it's kind of this, I guess it's kind of a game of chicken. If they think the teams aren't going to pick them up, you know, then that eliminates a problem. They don't have to add them to the 40-man roster because their belief is that, you know, they don't have to worry about them getting picked. So you could always also work out a trade once the team picks them. So, you know, there's a lot of different wrinkles, but the general idea is that, yeah, there's a lot of players that the Royals are going to have to protect, and right now they should be evaluating who these guys are.
Anybody else have any final thoughts on this subject?
Yeah, I got something. I don't think you have to worry so much about Melville getting picked because he missed all of the most of the season with his finger injury, and he's just not progressing very well. I don't see a team stashing him on their roster all season. Sample, on the other hand, I don't know. I could see a team taking him and sticking him in the back of their bullpen, a bad team, like, I don't know, like the Astros, sticking him in the back of their bullpen, or the Rockies, he's from Colorado, and using him 25 times for 41 innings and watching him be terrible, then sticking him in AAA and having him come up 3 years later. Sample's more of a risk to me than Melville. I don't think either one's really a big loss anyway, but they're both relievers long-term. Right. So,
one of the things, when Nate Adcock was selected, up to 2009, he really hadn't done that well, and then he finally, in 2010, at the age of 22, had a 3.38 ERA in 26 starts, then the Royals selected him. So, you know, it's a lot of that's just kind of the profile where they might be looking at players. So, yeah, Sample may be a guy that could be picked up like that. So, you know, it's, I don't know, it's complicated stuff. And it's sometimes it makes my head hurt a little bit.
Well, and I think that's kind of why we like having this show and the Pine Tar Press show is because there is so many topics out there that don't get covered by terrestrial radio. And you know, you can only read so much that's out there as far as blogs and stuff are concerned. And I think what's great about the podcast is that you can throw them on in your car while you're sitting on I-35 waiting for people to move at 8 a.m. in the morning. And so that's...
I don't have that problem.
Well,
I don't really either, actually. 6 minute drive to work, I'm good with that.
I was going to say, Lesky doesn't even have to get on a major road to get to work, don't think.
That's true.
So there's that. We're going to take another break here, and then when we come back, Michael Engel is going to take us down a topic that hits home for every one of us that are on this call, and that's the Royals, the media, and their opinion on bloggers and how they deal with us. So I think that's going to be a great topic, and I'm excited to see everybody's input on that, and we'll be right back on the other side.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
We saw two or three different replays. It was a bang-bang play at first, yet the replays show rather conclusively that the Royals got a tremendous, gigantic break.
The Vault.
Hey, it's Ben for Kelly's Westport Inn. Do high gas prices got you down? Well, don't worry about it. Hop on the bus to Kelly's Westport Inn and save some jingle jangle as you drink until you're blingle blangle. Kelly's has the best open-air roof in town with beer and drink prices that are cheaper than at the pump. That's for sure. There's plenty of TVs to watch the soccer and the football games this summer. Plus, there's someone for everyone, and you can find him or her at Kelly's. Hearts and smoochies. So check out Kelly's Westport Inn, and you'll have more change to fill up your range, Rover. This has been Ben, Kelly's Westport Ben, saying smell you laters.
Boy, that is the biggest cup I have ever seen.
Oh, it's really?
That's an all-star one. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, I've seen you have that before, but...
There it is.
That was like a $9 cup.
Eight.
It was really insane. I had to pee so bad after I finished that.
So you'll know where I'll be immediately following the episode today.
Thanks for that.
More great outtakes, and I don't know what Matt's doing, but he's a big screen of green now, so this should get interesting.
He's doing a weather report.
If only I wish that one of the things we had was the ability to draw on the images. Use his little green screen, and we could draw stuff up there. So it's just Matt's just our well. Here, let's bring this back, and then we'll actually bring it into the episode. Welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault for our third segment here. Michael Lee is going to take us around the horn on bloggers and Royals baseball and all that goodness. But we were joking in the outtakes that you won't get on the audio version, but obviously if you go to youtube.com/RoyalManReport, I leave those completely unedited so you can see what some of the behind-the-scenes stuff is that goes on. But our friend from I-70 Baseball, Matt Whitener, he's having some troubles with his camera, and so he's kind of our very own Kansas City Baseball Vault Batman, and he's our man of mystery right now. And he's turned into a green screen, and we were joking that it's a shame there isn't some way to draw on, like, people's images, and we could just throw his up there and write little notes on it for things we're going to talk about or whatever. But on that note, I'm going to hand it over to Michael Engel. You may know him as the executive director, managing partner, and all-around good guy from Kings of Kauffman.
Got it in the right time there this week.
Nice.
Computer's working pretty good this week. I'm pretty pleased, so if the Royals don't do anything for pitching, we're all going to be...
Oh, boy.
So I'm quite finished at this point, but Michael Engel, take us through your topic.
All right, what I want to talk about is the Royals, the media, blogging, all of that all together. You know, to me, it seems like the Royals are one of the tighter-run front offices in baseball. It's very rare that you're going to get a lead coming out of there, and most of the time if something breaks, the guy who gets it is Bob Dutton, who does fantastic work for the Star. Great job. But they don't seem to be a team that's willing to trust just about anybody. You know, you look across the way at Arrowhead, it's kind of the same thing. It seems like there's this really strange pocket of Kansas City where these sports teams just don't trust anybody. Nick Wright at one point has called the Royals insecure. They don't handle criticism very well. Earlier in the year, Dayton Moore said something. People were questioning about the Royals going after pitching, and he said that question was a question with a critical spirit, things like that. These things all add up to me with my experience in blogging and trying to do something with it to where the Royals just seem like they don't want a lot of scrutiny. They want to have, you know, Nate Buchady and Bob Dutton and all these guys, and they all do great work. But, you know, they want to sit them down and, okay, we'll ask five questions, and then Ned Yost goes. We've seen it in the past where they've revoked credentials from guys from the radio, from Rainey Jazierli, things like that. That's what concerns me is, you know, there's a lot of things in baseball that point to, you know, being a little progressive, trying something different. The Royals don't seem to want to answer those questions. So the general question, you know, what kind of things can the Royals do from a PR standpoint, from a media standpoint, that will show people that they are willing to be open, to be honest, things like that. You know, there's a lot of questions about the process. You know, if people are asking hard questions about that, are they going to answer them? And those are my concerns. I'm going to throw it out to you guys and get your thoughts on that idea and solutions, pros, cons, anything like that.
Well, and before I turn it over to the group, I did want to say I believe everybody except for Matt that's been on this episode today, and I'm not sure with Matt, but I think all of us have been invited to blog to the K or something along those lines, correct?
I think it's just you and me, Troy.
I thought Jeff had went with
They've
you
only
early
done
on.
Two. No.
They don't like you very much.
Oh, well, hell, what do I know?
I have a story about that if you're interested.
Go for it.
Go for it. Why don't you take over? You can take this topic and go from there.
Well, so I was at a networking event last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that, and I got a chance to actually confront Mike Swanson, and I don't think he's watching or listening. But when I walked up to him, he had a look on his face that was an oh crap look, and so we talked. We talked for probably 15 minutes, maybe, and it started off like really cordial, and you know, we were back and forth and chatting, and then all of a sudden he said something to me about asking if we could be a little less critical, and I just looked him in the eye and I said, look, Mike, I'm much more apt to listen to you if you allowed us the opportunity to be in the locker room,
yep,
in the press conferences, because the fact of the matter is, all I can do is make guesses for why this is happening, why that's happening. I wrote something a couple weeks ago that it looked like Moustakas was trying to hit a five-run homer every time. Well, if I could be in that locker room, I could say, hey, what's up? Are you injured? Are you pressing? What's going on? And maybe he wouldn't answer me, but I at least would have more information than just watching a game on television and having to guess exactly what was happening. So that was interesting. And then fast forward a little bit, I was talking to Brad Zollers, who's the, I believe, director of advertising with the Royals. And he was telling me that before the first blow
no
away to the K, between your first
I'll
blog
go ahead. I think my computer cut out for a second.
Oh, I gotcha. Before the first blog away to the K, Mike Swanson was convinced that the people were going to show up in sweatpants. And I looked at him and I go, seriously? And he goes, yeah, Mike's not exactly up with blogging. And to be fair, in Mike Swanson's defense, and then I'll bash him for it in a second, he didn't know, and he made an assumption, just like we have to do when we write stories. Now, the fact of the matter is he is the vice president of media relations. So he really should be up on this stuff and know that yeah, I enjoy the occasional Hot Pocket, sure. And yes, my mother brings it to me sometimes. But still, it doesn't change the fact that I wear slacks Monday through Thursday. Friday I wear jeans. Saturday and Sunday, it's basketball shorts. But still. And that's the type of thing that it just makes him seem so out of touch with everything that's right. going on. And then I think it was Brad Zollers told me that there's a deal with Major League Baseball Advanced Media that makes it so they can't give credentials to certain people. And so then I started naming off some teams who do give credentials to bloggers, and he had that same look that Mike Swanson had when I started walking up to him.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, so from my experience, and this is not anything that I can guarantee, but I think that it will start coming out soon that they will allow certain people into the boys club that weren't allowed before. That's my guess.
You know, they'll credential just about any newspaper and most radio stations, I believe. I'm not sure on all their criteria. But at any point, if any of those groups, if they take advantage of that, if they don't approach it properly, if they break the protocol, they can revoke them. I mean, they can determine after the fact that, you know, they're not following the rules, they're not complying with, you know, what standards we set. If they can set those standards, period, I think you can apply those to bloggers, because the guys that you're going to put in there, are guys like, you know, Dave Lasky of Pinto Press, all of us here, you know, guys who are going to take it seriously. I'm not in there, you know, I don't want to get into the clubhouse because I want to go high-five Mike Moustakas and look at the fantasy football championship belt. I don't want any of that. I want to go in there and be able to be around something, and maybe even if I don't ask a question, I learn more by knowing what questions were asked. You can look at a question or a quote in the paper, and I don't know what the context is. Was it in response to a follow-up question? Was that the original question? Did it even answer the question that was asked? So I think that gives you a better idea of what the idea of the team is. It goes back to the problem that Dave said. It's like all we're doing is guessing, you know, and that's kind of the criticism. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't know what goes on in there, and yet bloggers in general are being criticized because we don't know what's going on in there. Well, I can't get the opportunity to get in there and it's going to change my opinion in some way because it's more information, it's different information, and it's a different perspective. So it's just a rigged game in a lot of ways. And Swanson has told us, I've been to two of the events that they've hosted for bloggers, and he's told us up front, he's like, I'm an old school guy, and he's been in baseball for 30 plus years. So, you know, that's just how he approaches it. And, you know, that just, it's a hard habit to break. But I think that you can look at those groups that come in and you know, we're interested, we're engaged in what we're doing, and we want to ask those questions and be able to, you know, get more information. You know, we just want an opportunity is all it comes down to.
And you know, if I could jump in here, I was just going to
sure.
say, you know, I think that the insecurity thing, I think, is big. I think that comes into play big time with the Royals and the Chiefs to a lesser extent, but still there. And it's one of those things where throughout the years, the Royals, I mean, it's what all of us have talked about in some form or another in any of our blogs or podcasting, that that issue of accountability is not there in this organization. It hasn't been for the last quarter century. And the part of that is this kind of insecurity. They don't want to be questioned. They don't want to have to answer the questions. They don't want to have to, you know, they don't want to have to deal with seeing a blogger who they can't predict, who they can't, you know, and have the answer these questions and have this platform that they can get it out to all these people and make all these comments and possibly change the perception out there. And I think that's a lot of the fear. And a lot of that comes from what Lesky was saying with the people that are in charge just don't know about how we operate and about how, you know, they just for whatever reason they don't have as much of a knowledge of the blogosphere as they probably should, in my opinion, for being in that position. But you know, I think that part of it is that they know they're lacking in certain areas, and the most they can lessen that getting out is the better for them. And I think part of that, and you see it with the Chiefs too, it's kind of a thing where, you know, you say, well, we don't want to put out certain information because, well, who cares? You know, if you're worried about other teams finding out, well, you should be confident in your team that you're better than the team you're going to play. And whatever the information's out there doesn't matter because you're going to win anyway. You know, it's a similar type of deal where you're just insecure about the information that's out there about your team and about your organization. And, you know, I see a lot of difficulties with us because I think that's absolutely kind of hits a nail on the head, if you will, and probably one of a microcosm of bigger problems within the organization that go with on just getting credentials for bloggers.
Jeff Parker.
Jeff Francoeur made a comment here a couple months ago talking about all the criticisms he's received this year, basically saying, if you're going to criticize me, come talk to me first. And I interpreted it as a shot at blogs and Twitter, but that's kind of hard to do if you don't have access to him.
Right.
Bingo, right there.
Well, you know what's funny about that is I got, when I was at spring training, you know, the players just convene on the outside the fence, and I introduced myself because I thought, why not? What's the worst that can happen? Yeah. He looked at me and he goes, you said some not so nice things about me. And I looked at him dead in the eye, and I was just like, you've done some not-so-good things on the field. And the funny thing is, there is a mutual respect there. He was like, all right, you owned it, and move on. He's a great guy. I want nothing more than him to hit 300 with 40 homers and 130 RBIs every single year. But the fact of the matter is, he's not going to do that. And it's not about the person. It's about the player. And he does get that, and you're right, Jeff. He made that comment, and I took it the exact same way you did. And it's like, well, how are we supposed to? And the reason it didn't offend me so much is because I did get a chance to talk to him, not in any kind of official capacity, because the Royals would never allow that, but in the capacity of just a fan on the along the fence in surprise, and we kind of had that mutual understanding after that. So the Royals could look at that situation, not that he would ever remember that. I remember it because it was cool that I met Jeff Francoeur. But if the Royals could look at that and say, look what happened, they built a relationship. And, like, it's not a lasting relationship. We're not exactly having dinner tomorrow night. But He doesn't eat dinner. It's lunch. And it's something that they can learn from. It's just interactions like that that happen every so often. I mean, you could run into Mike Moustakas at Oak Park Mall and talk to him for 10 minutes, and he could love talking to you because all of us, we understand baseball. It would be a great conversation probably. But the Royals are not willing to let to see what happens even.
Well, and on that note right there, and that is a perfect example how Kansas City is different than a lot of other cities. A lot of cities, you don't see the players out and about in town. But I can tell you, because I don't think it's any secret, we have a great relationship with Kelly's Westport Inn. I know the owners. They just re-upped for 6 months with us. And I was sitting in there and talking to some of them. And, you know, they were talking about how cool of a dude, you know, Eric Hosmer is. He was in there a couple weeks ago. He took a picture with one of the bartenders for the bartender's birthday. And because they're huge baseball fans over at Kelly's. And outside of being a great bar, they really truly are great baseball fans. And if you're ever in there and you're sitting in the first level, ask them to show you the
World Series ball.
The World Series ball, or whatever you want to call it. The ball from that has been signed by all these players, and it's got so much nicotine on it that it's completely yellowed, and it'll either make you cry because it's in such bad shape or be awesome. But back to the point, you know, the thing is we've been out there, and we've seen these players, and I know our good friend Patty Casey from the Doorman at Harry's has talked to a lot of these guys, and he can tell you who are good and bad guys on this team because they've all come through Harry's and Kelly's and everywhere else. And they're out there, and a lot of them will talk to you. They'll have a good time. You know, granted, they are people, and they might be tired and have a bad day. But you know, some of them are jerks, some aren't, and they're out there. But we can get to them there. We can talk to them there. But the Royals are so afraid of letting us talk to them in a professional setting. And, Leske, I think you had something solid. I'll go ahead and jump back to you.
No, I was just going to tell you to refer to the ball by its proper name, which is a Major League Pearl.
Okay. That works. I'll have to remember that.
Huddler told me that. He, you know, Huddler and I talk regularly, so we had to.
I forgot my ball. I'm not holding the ball.
Right?
I'm without.
Worthless.
So my take's a little different because, you know, I am, or soon to be, used to be, you know, a baseball super fan, and they.
You'll always be a super fan to us, Troy.
Oh, there you go. They. The Royals organization, I can't say the organization as a whole hates what I do because J.J. Piccolo actually was complimentary to it. Honestly, my issue has not been with Swanee, it's been with Holtzman. And, you know, funny thing is, Leske, you said about how you doubt he's listening. I can tell you this, those guys, at least with audio stuff, they're in touch because I had a problem and I brought it up on 1510 when Three Guys in a Garage was on that show. And that was a show that didn't have a huge listenership because, frankly, and coming from people that run 1510, it's hard to get a listenership on 1510. But the Royals know when their people are talking about them. They know who you are, and they know there are certain people that they do monitor without a doubt. And I think there are people that are, not necessarily me, but there are definitely people that are on this chat that are on that short list of people that department handles. And if they're listening to this, I would love to have a sit-down with Holtzman and find out exactly what it is that he has against me, the person. Because if he doesn't like the superfan, that's fine, and I've heard as much. And he thinks it's weird he doesn't like me or superfan Chris, which is fine. But let's get by all that and realize that what Mike and I have done for over a year, what Clint and David are starting to do now, and what all of you have done with your blogs, but our podcast, your blogs, it's they need to start to represent that we're the future of media. With my work, I work with a lot of different companies, and I was talking to a gentleman from Arbitron while we were fixing an issue in his system and how he even accepts that podcasting is the future, and radio stations are constantly pushing back on them to not grade on-demand listening as part of the rating system because they don't want anybody messing with their meal ticket. And so it's beyond just the Royals. You know, the radio stations don't really want us there either. Technically, we joked when we did the show live from the parking lot on opening day, technically we shouldn't have been there because 610 owned all audio rights to the Truman Sports Complex that day, and 610 could have had us thrown out. But obviously nobody knew where we were at because we were off in a desolate corner at somebody's tailgate recording the show, which we may have disclosed a couple of times during the show. But, you know, I think that at this point they have vetted – those of us that have been to Blog to the K, we've been vetted. So they know who we are. They know that we're not psychos. We might be people that have poor taste in what to wear to baseball games, but
hey, speak for yourself, buddy.
Right. Well, I was. But they know who we are. I was vetted for Blog to the K. I was vetted to volunteer for the All-Star game. Didn't work out because of some other commitments I had. But, you know, they've got our information. They know who we are. It's no different than the Fescos and the Keatsmen and all them in the world. But, you know, like you were talking about, stripping people of their ability to be in the clubhouse, of their credentials, that's happened to Fesco before. And he had to come way around, and I believe he had to apologize to the Royals for some things he said when he went back to 610 to get his credentials back. So to me, it just seems real childish on a lot of what they do. We've had such amazing experiences having done the Royal Man Report and the Kansas City Baseball Vault like we have, and becoming, you know, friends with the folks over at Baseball Prospectus. They got us into their, or we helped do their event along with Craig Brown. We helped do their event at the Negro League Museum, and it was awesome, and they included us as part of it, and we got to meet some great people, you know, and one of the gentlemen we had on the vault, and I'm awful because his name slips my mind, and maybe Mike or Jeff can help me out with this, but one of the front office folks for the Pirates has talked about – go ahead, Mike.
Oh, no, I was
– oh, I thought you were waving at me.
No. Tyrone Brooks.
Yes, thank you. Tyrone Brooks. He talked about how blogging is very important to the Pirates, you know, and they allow a lot of bloggers access. They allowed us access to him, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, and he comes, he's from the same school as Dayton Moore as far as front office folks go.
They scouted together. I mean, they were both in the Braves organization. I can see how blogs, Twitter, Facebook, all of that could really benefit them, because if you look at the Royals' Twitter, and I don't know who runs that, but I'm pretty sure it's like a 49-year-old man who doesn't really watch pop culture, TV, and anything like that, because some of the references are just corny. And I think you could connect better with fans by embracing, you know, some of the fans that are already out there. You know, you can look at a blog, you can look at Twitter, and you can see exactly what the tone is. I mean, look at things like Country Breakfast. I mean, that's a real thing now. There's no avoiding that. I mean, it happened, and it was Twitter, you know, and
it's on baseball cards.
Yeah, I mean, it's little things like that can help an organization brand themselves, because they can look out. It's like free market research for them. They know exactly what we're talking about and what we're interested in, and a lot of times they're resistant to it, and I just don't understand why they would take that route. I think it's only to their benefit to at least pay attention to it.
Yeah, you know, it's a really frustrating conversation for me, because I think we could do such better work if we did have the credentials. But at the same time, you know, one of the things that former host Chris Kamler used to say was that we have more rights because we're not credentialed. You know, we have the ability, and yes, has not being credentialed hurt us? Absolutely. It has slowed us down, the evolution of the show, without a doubt. However, have we had Danny Duffy on this show? Have we had Brian Pena on this show? Ryan Verdugo, I mean, I can...
Giotella, Dave Lowe. I mean, yeah, there's ways to get to those guys, and Dave and Clint have had really great guests as well. It's just as simple as asking them. But you're also limited, you know, when something comes up, if some big breaking news comes up, and maybe I want to get a comment or talk to somebody, we don't have that access. We have to go really out of the way to get it. It's not as timely. It does affect kind of what we can put out for people that like reading our stuff. So, you know, it is frustrating. It's not impossible to get in touch with some of these guys, but any small amount of cooperation would be very much appreciated, because I think it's a better product for everybody in that sense.
And to kind of wrap this up, you know, like, if you've listened to our work for very long, you know that on the Kansas City Baseball Vault radio show, I developed a little bit of a love affair with Will Smith. And with him having the way that his year is going, I would love to have Will Smith on and talk about exactly what I had, you know, comparing him to Nolan Ryan, which wasn't the intention of what I said, but where that whole episode is gone now, was that I said that Will Smith's going to be the next Nolan Ryan. You know, I'd love to have him on just to talk to him about that and to see what he would say about that. But, you know, Twitter's a powerful tool, and if you're a blogger out there, don't be afraid to tweet at the players and ask them, especially if you're writing. It's a lot easier to get them for stuff written because they'll email back and forth. I know we lost Matt, his computer went down, but I know Bill Ivey from I-70 Baseball has had interviews with Billy Butler, among others. Granted, we did have the radio interview with Butler as well, but they got Butler via, you know, email back and forth, and there's a lot of that out there. So to bloggers out there, don't limit yourself because you're not credentialed. Just keep working. If you meet somebody, have business cards. I know everybody kind of laughs when I pull out our business cards, but, you know, there's business cards that have been made for all four of my guys, including Chris Kamler, and I think they're very important because you never know when you're going to be standing in the team store and in walks J.J. Piccolo, and that's exactly how I got J.J. Piccolo. There's an incredible opportunity out there for bloggers, so don't ever put yourself down. I do think that when the day comes, and it will, I don't know if it'll be under this or if it's under this organization, I can only imagine what they'll do, but when the day comes that bloggers get in there, if it's under this organization, they're probably not going to put the right people in. They're going to put people they can control. So it's not going to be the DB Leskies, and it's definitely not going to be the Troy Olsons, and it's not going to be the Mike Ingles, most likely, or Jeff, or either of the Jeffs probably, because we're not the kind of people that are going to bow down to what they want us to write. And that, at the end, is they have all the power, and they hold it in the palm of their hands, and they're going to continue to do that for as long as they can.
Occupy so, Kaufman.
Pretty much. I mean, if there was ever an example of the 99% versus the 1%, there it is right there. There's 1% of people with the control and 99% of people that want in, and that 1% will make sure that we never, ever, ever get that kind of ability.
Could we call you Troy Guevara?
Right. So I think after that rant, I think that's a good time to take our final break. I think during this break we're going to lose Jeff Herr. So, Jeff, thank you for joining us. And, again, thank you to Matt, who had some computer issues. We'll definitely try to get him on again later on down the road. We're going to come back and do what we'd normally do with our first segment, and that's just kind of do a wraparound from last week. Jeff Parker and Leskie, you both are welcome to stay for this. Or if you need to take off, that's cool too. But we're going to be right back on the other side.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Brand new Royal Stadium in Kansas City's Harry S. Truman Sports Complex is the attractive setting for this year's game. Hosting this all-star occasion are Mr. and Mrs. Ewing Kaufman. And with a stadium record crowd of almost 41,000 streaming in, everything certainly is up to date in Kansas City.
The Vault.
Come to Spit Cup this week. We'll let the person who has the highest bar tab ride the bull. We don't have any TVs in our bar, but we make our own entertainment. Mondays, it's free cover charge to anybody with a gun rack in their pickup truck. Tuesdays, we've got $8 beer night. All domestic beers are on special for only $8. It's Spit Cup. Wednesdays is longest tobacco spit. Thursdays is foot fungus night. Friday night is Jamboree night. Bring your crap kick in your 10-gallon hats. And this weekend, you get our world-famous Spit Cup girls. You get to pick which one has the most teeth. It's Spit Cup.
No love letters, talking to the wall.
Or you could go to Kelly's Westport Inn. The highest quality drinks with the lowest prices. You know what we do. Drinks, friends, plenty of TV showing sports. They've got all the basketball and all the baseball on. Live music on the weekends, the best pizza in Kansas City, and fun. Kelly's has the best rooftop patio in town and is voted one of the best places in Kansas City to check out the view, if you know what I mean, and maybe make a new friend. Make the best choice for your evening entertainment, Kelly's Westport Inn. Kelly's is at 500 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri. Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Somebody stands up and says, I'm sick of the control, and the silver spoon that feeds all your stories and your bowling. Are you listening? Are you listening?
And welcome back into the final episode, our final, final episode. We're not going there. Final segment of this Kansas City Baseball Vault. We've done that whole final episode thing before, and
I thought they'd shut us down already.
Right.
The Royals called. They're done.
Yeah, the Royals called. We're not allowed to do the podcast anymore. But you know, ironically, that's one of the reasons that I did change away from the Royal Man Report name, because as Lesky can probably relate to a little bit, the website that he writes for used to have a different name. And it was
the Royals Prospects.
Yeah, and he got you know, they got a call and said, "Hey, we would like you to not use Royals as part of the name."
Yeah.
And so there is a good chance that someday they wouldn't let me be Royal Man anyways. And really, they probably could have shut me down at any point anyways. And so I took that power away from them, I guess.
They're going to not let you use the word Kansas City anymore.
Well, that's, you know, I guess there's some truth to that there's some copyrights on the word Kentucky between Kentucky Fried Chicken and the Derby and stuff like that. So there's actually some things that can't be said.
Well, yeah, I remember they were calling it Kitchen Fresh Chicken for a while.
Yeah, it's like that's why I'd heard that they had primarily started to use KFC was because there was some copyright issue with the word Kentucky. So you never know. There's a lot of power in copyrights out there, and so that's
so here nor there. I propose right here, as not a member of this show typically, but I propose you change it to the Kentucky Baseball Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna get us the listenership that we're looking for, but we'll take it under advisement there.
Kitchen Fresh Vault. That'll be the Kitchen Fresh Vault.
So, of course, it's not one of our shows if it doesn't have a little bit of nonsense in it. So we've definitely inserted some nonsense throughout. First off, let me once again thank everybody that was involved. And again, if you're a blogger or a podcaster out there, and there are some of you that I did leave out of this, it wasn't on purpose, but originally when I had planned this, there was going to be like 7 people. And so I kind of had to – I went with the people that I'd known the longest, and Broken Bat Single was somebody I really wanted because he had kind of the original mainstream Royals podcast, and then I've got relationships with these guys. We've all done stuff together before. So Jeff Parker happens to have done things in both sides of my extracurricular life. He's wrote articles on the Royals and
roller derby.
Roller derby. So he's a big fan of the St. Joe Black Snake Roller Derby League. So that's very exciting to me. First off, we want to thank Nick Schaefer for coming on last week. He was from – Mike, hit me with the website again.
Southside.
Yeah, Southside Showdown, another great fan-sided site. He was awesome, fantastic. So definitely check out his work, even if you're not a White Sox fan. The Royals did not do to the Tigers what they did to the White Sox, and they looked really bad in doing it. Is it finally time, terrible. Guys, for the Tigers to take over?
They did exactly what to the Tigers what they did to the White Sox. They screwed the White Sox.
There you go.
Well, I think you can make the argument that Robin Ventura screwed the White Sox.
Well, okay. Well, that's true, too.
It was going back to that episode last week. You have to listen to Nick Schaefer talk about walking Frank Gore so many times intentionally. He had the same reaction we did pretty much, and that was just disbelief and lack of understanding. One thing that we were going to talk about last week, and I wanted to bring it up in the 40-man section, but I didn't throw it in there, but Verdugo was left off the Royals roster with the 40-man call-ups. Also, Clint Robinson and Derek Robinson. And it's kind of like Lesky said, I think these three guys are gone, because I think it's a sign that the Royals didn't even want to let them make that paycheck of, it's like a grand a day for a baseball player in September to be on the 40-man roster in the major leagues, and it helps them towards their pension and stuff like that. And I think for those three to be left off, I think it really says that the Royals have just said, we're done. Am I off base there?
No, I think it was very telling. I expect all three of them to be left off.
Yeah. So Derek
Robinson's just never panned out. I mean, he hit for a little bit, but, you know, at a certain point, he's not going to bring anything that Jerod Dyson doesn't already bring you, and Dyson's suspect anyway.
Well, Robinson's terrible defensively. I mean, remember Lonnie Smith? Derek Robinson could be the new Skinks.
That's me.
Ouch.
sorry, Derek.
Yeah.
You haven't met him, so you can't say that.
Oh, that's true. When I meet Derek Robinson, call me. I'll say that again.
He's amazingly athletic, but yeah, it's just athleticism and skill are different things. You know, I mean, Dyson's plenty athletic too, but he takes the worst routes on balls sometimes that I've ever seen, and it's just terrible. So, you know, I think they have to weigh that. And Clint Robinson, yeah, he can mash in the Pacific Coast League, but you know, what did he get, 4 at bats this year, and he struck out in all 4, and he didn't even look good in any of them. It's not like he fought it off. It was like 4 pitches each. So, you know, I don't think he's got a long-term future as anything more than, you know, left-handed pinch hitter or an injury fill-in for a major league team. I mean, he's already older than Billy Butler, and Butler's light years away talent and production-wise, and I think that, you know, the Royals know that.
Isn't that amazing?
I hope they do. God,
isn't it amazing though how Billy Butler is the same age roughly as Clint Robinson?
Yeah.
And he's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, and the march is on. He's got 5 games to hit 1 homer to get 30. I want to see it.
It's just he's got to break that record eventually, you would think, but that's another show altogether, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to speak at a personal level here. Ryan Verdugo is a great friend of the show. He's come on with us once or twice, I forget which, and I think he's been on I-70 Baseball once, which I set up for them. And he left Twitter, and then he came back, and he does follow me on Twitter, so I get the opportunity to DM him, and I won't share any of those conversations, but he's a good man, and he's a decent baseball player, and I hope that whatever it is that the Royals have decided to leave him off, if it was personality issues or just that they don't like his talent, hopefully he finds a job somewhere in the major leagues. And I think he's got good enough talent to be a major league pitcher, because every team needs pitching so bad that I think he would have to land somewhere.
Well, he's left-handed, so he's got that going
right.
I mean, so that'll get him a second look anywhere, so
and a third and fourth look,
right? Yeah.
And I'm sure the Oakland A's are already calling about Clint Robinson, so I don't think we'll have much to worry about there. So
they love first basemen who can't play defense. It's awesome.
Yeah. So,
well, you know, they don't have very much foul territory to cover, so it's not like it's a big deal.
Yeah. First basemen don't have to move around a lot.
I wonder what Kealakai Hui's eyes looked like when he saw that. He's like, I got to play here.
Oh, they probably look the same as they always do. Which
right.
Was,
oh, yeah. God, that's a fastball. No, that's a slider. Sorry. Sorry, buddy.
We're going to get hate mail from all the no, I take that back. We're not going to get hate mail. Some other podcast is going to get hate mail directed towards us with a DC seat on it.
Who would ever do that?
And I tell you, if the guy's listening, I would love to buy you lunch and to understand why you thought, and I'll just be honest about it. We got a letter a while back, and it came BCC to me, or no, to the Royal Man Report, that was directed to Clint and David's show. Mind you, it was, what, a week or two after we had been on your show?
David? Yeah, it was pretty soon after.
And so we had just been on there, and they're like, we're so glad that the Pine Tar Press has a podcast. You guys don't do nearly the nonsense, and you're much more on point than those guys over at the Royal Man Report, which is nothing is nothing more than a show about making
like fart jokes and about the Pounders Fisters trade.
Yes, and the other day, I chuckled because it made me think of this again, because one of the it was Denny Matthews, I think, said, goes, and Fister's pounding the strike zone, and I just had to pull off the road for a minute, because I was like, we can't say that, but Denny Matthews can, and nobody else finds the humor in this. So, but yeah, we've made a few Brooks Pounders, Doug Fister's jokes in our life, but you know, we love the feedback, and we're not insulting anybody for sending us feedback, but I would love to sit down with this person and to have you explain to me the thought process on Beastie seeing us on that letter, because I guess he just thought that Clint and Dave would you know, be fine with it when we've all become pretty good friends over time. Yeah. So, but we do want your email. Send them to royalmanreport@gmail.com. That's royalmanreport@gmail.com. I haven't changed the email yet, so you can still send them there. And we do want your feedback. If you like what we did here today, this is something that we need to know, because I think we're going to play around with some more of this type of format, because we have the ability with Google Plus, and maybe it's just my way of secretly making everybody use their Google Plus accounts a little more.
Yes, they should.
Yes, because some of us are out there and actually posting stuff on Google Plus, and it's not nearly as much of a mess as Facebook, but that's another show altogether too. I do want to thank real quick. First off, I want to thank all of you guys for coming on. David Leske, Twitter at DB Leske. David, what do you have coming up soon?
Well, we are into our every other week for the podcast, so we're off this week. But we've got a, I'm going to have a look at my awards next week. Clint's got some stuff in the works. I know Greg has something that he won't divulge much information on, but it's going to be huge. So
if you guys want, I have a episode of, and this is the reason I'm saying this on the show is because I would have, people can go back and listen to this as well. But last year, because there was no Pine Tar Press podcast, Greg Schaum and I did the Pine Tar Press Awards on the Royal Man Report. And so there's an episode out there of broken down of everything of the awards last year. So if you guys need a copy of that, it is out there. Feel free to use any part of that you want to use looking back to last year or this year, because I'll be interested to see your award show this year with knowing that how you guys do them and everything. It's pretty interesting. Their awards are a great read. So I definitely tell everybody to head over to Pine Tar Press and check that out. What else is going on, Leske? Anything?
You know, we're just kind of rounding into off-season form, as the Royals have been for the last week. So, you know, just looking ahead, 40-man roster stuff, just the random ramblings that I have every day. You know, my daily 1,000 words that don't really add up to anything. And, yeah, just good stuff ahead. We're moving forward. You have some great new writers. Darren Watson's awesome. Keith Blackburn writes a little bit. Sean Redman writes a little bit. Just a lot of... A lot of quality writers on the site that are coming on. Jeff Barker's coming on soon. He doesn't know it yet. But
I disagree.
You know what? No. Jeff Barker is a Pine Tar Press man.
We've got cookies at Kings of Kaufman, so
we have ice cream.
Oh, we could just
we have a chocolate fountain.
I don't think that helps your cause.
So you're a Golden Corral is what you're telling us, Leske.
Yes, and free refills on all drinks.
I have cotton candy.
Can I go to King's? Never mind.
Jeff Parker, what's going on with you and your writings, both Royals and otherwise?
I don't write as much as I used to. I might write something later. I also may take a nap, so whatever. That's kind of cut back time-wise. Other than that roller derby article, I haven't really written too much for any other sites either.
Well,
they probably will this off season. Maybe move to a different blog, just because being a single writer. I see you, David. It is. it can be hard. I can't keep the content fresh, and I look at the site stats and I see big dips, and which is fine. You know, I understand. So.
Well,
I'm thinking about moving.
I'll tell you this, Jeff. Obviously, both of these gentlemen would love to have you. But knowing that you're a man that doesn't write just Royals baseball, obviously you could guest write for any of the blogs out there. I'm sure everybody would love to have you if you wanted to do it on like a guest writer style. But there's always a home for you on Echo Network as well, because we cover everything from baseball across, and they've been trying to get me to do.
Parker's just like,
yeah,
Parker's an auction or something. Man.
Right, he is the.
I feel loved.
He's the most. There's a big interest for Jeff Parker's services in the free blogging world. So
I write three paragraph posts, and people want more.
But they can follow you if they don't get enough of your three paragraph posts, they can get them 140 characters at a time at Royally Speaking on Twitter, and yes. I'm pretty sure you've made Brian McGannon's top 30 both years that he's done it, so I don't know if Leske has or not. I
made it this year.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got my own category this year with
nice.
With Yost across the – or with Chris Kamler across the top. He doesn't include us in it anymore, but he had included us the first year. Mike Engel's been on there both years, as has Jeff Hurst. So if you don't follow at Michael Engel, at Kings of Kaufman, at Royally Speaking, at DB Leske, do you guys use your Pine Tar Press primary account too quite a bit, right? or not?
Yeah, we use it. It's more less so in the off season because a lot of it's game updates. But yeah, we use it. New posts come out, and it's just at Pine Tar Press. Pretty easy to find.
So, and then like Jeff had said, his blog slash his personal Twitter account are the same. Mike obviously does different things with the Kings of Kaufman account than he does with his own at Michael Engel. And then I guess maybe we need to get out drinking once again and get friggin' Engel going again. Because it's been a while, so
friggin' Engel's getting a little old for that.
I feel your pain. I went out with some Derby girls last night, and one's turning 30, and she's doing splits on the dance floor, and I'm going, I'm tired. I'm going home.
I left that concert at like 11. All I want to do is go to bed.
Yeah, gentlemen, I think everybody listening to the podcast goes, God, are these guys 80?
So, excuse me, 67.
Right. So, obviously, if you thought that there was any hard feelings between any of the blogs in the town, you're solely disappointed because we actually all do get along pretty well. And there's some good friendly competition between the different blogs, but it's real exciting to have Craig Brown at the head of Royals Review now, because that is somebody that's been on this show about 5 times. And again, we definitely wanted somebody from there on, but couldn't work it out. And we're gonna do more of these roundtables, I think, as time goes on. And there's a lot of really good people out there that we didn't include. One that I left off because I've only recently met him is the folks from The Inverted W. That's a great podcast as well, and I highly encourage you to add that to your off-season listening. They take a look at the AL Central as a whole, not just Royals baseball. The Pine Tar Press podcast, they do a thing a little bit different than we do. So there's plenty of, just as there's plenty of space for all the different blogs as far as writing goes, there's plenty of time to listen to all the blogs as well, or all the podcasts as well. And they're all great. They're all great stuff out there. So,
but I want to say real quick, only one podcast has not Rex Hudler. So, just throwing that out.
Yes. And that is a pretty funny segment. I guess we could have always done something like that, but it definitely doesn't work for us like it does for you guys. So, no, I'm really excited about the Pine Tar Press podcast, and I say that with all seriousness. I had my nerves about it. Anytime that you're like the lone wolf in a category, and we were the only Royals podcast there for a while.
We were the one-man wolf pack of podcasts.
We were, and so we didn't know. We didn't know how it was going to be with you guys, and it's great because you guys have reached out to us and maintained a great relationship with us, and we wouldn't want it any other way. So,
all right, enough patting each other on the back. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to go home. It's 1:30 on Saturday. Of course, you can catch these shows live at youtube.com/RoyalManReport, and they are available there in the archives. I'm Casey Royalman. For Jeff Herr, Michael Engel, Matt... Matt Whitener, who I don't know if he has a Twitter. Find him at i70baseball.com. Thank you to Bill Ivey at Poison William, who couldn't make it, but got us Matt instead. At the Jeff Report, Echo Network, all those good things. Folks, thank you so much for – it's 2 full Royal seasons, Mike, that we've been doing this show. And I'm so happy that we're still doing it. And as we head out of here, a special thank you out to Matt Kelly and all the folks at Kelly's Westport Inn. They've come back on board with us for another 6 months, so that will allow us to do a lot of things that we wanted to do, including some great tweet-ups and drinking over at Kelly's. So stay tuned for those. I'm sure there will be one closer to my birthday in October. We will continue to be weekly as long as we can find content worth pushing out. And that, I guess, is a statement that's a little questionable if we do that now. But until next week, I am, for all these great guys, I'm Troy Olson. Have a great week and go Royals. What you trying to be yourself?